Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Greetings! This is Simply Scottish, the half-hour show of music and features. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening today. Access other episodes of the show on our website, www.simplyscottish.com. Between episodes, get Scottish news and trivia, updates on the show, and a chance to win Scottish music every month via our social media community. You can join us at facebook.com/simplyscottish or using our Twitter handle, at Simply Scottish. This week, the conclusion in a series of episodes exploring the history, culture, and landscape of Scotland's border region. To begin, here's music from Rachel Newton. This is Lady Diamond.
There was a king, a glorious king, a king of noble fame. And he had daughters, only one, Lady Diamond was her name. He had a boy, a kitchen boy, a boy of muckle scorn. She loved him, oh she loved him, aye, till the grass o'ergrew the corn. It fell upon a winter's night. The king could get no rest. He came up to his daughter dear, just like a wandering ghost. He came unto his daughter dear, pulled back the curtains long. What aileth thee, my diamond dear? I fear you've gotten wrong. Oh, if I have, despise me not, for he is all my joy. I will forsake both dukes and earls and marry your kitchen boy. Oh, bring to me my merry men all, by 30 and by 3, and bring to me my kitchen boy. We'll murder him secretly. Not a sound to the hall, and ne'er a word was said until they had him safe and sure between two feather beds. Now cut the heart from out of his breast, put it in a cup of gold, present it to my diamond dear, for she was both stout and bold. Oh, come to me, my honey, my heart. Oh, come to me, my joy. Oh, come to me, my honey, my heart, my father's kitchen boy. She took the cup from out of their hands, set it at her bedhead, tears that fell from her eyes. Next morning she was dead. Oh, where were you, my merry men all, when I gave meat and wage, that you didn't stay my cruel hand when I was in a rage? For gone is all my heart's delight. Oh, gone is all my joy. For my dear diamond, she is dead. Likewise, my kitchen boy.
You're listening to Simply Scottish. On the first episode of our series on the Scottish borders, we introduce you to the region, which covers about 1,800 square miles in the southeast corner of Scotland. First, we focused on the life and work of Sir Walter Scott, who spent much time in the borders and was heavily influenced by border history and tradition. Scott also promoted the borders region in his poetry and novels. In part two of our series, we explored Abbotsford House, the home of Sir Walter Scott. We visited nearby Melrose and the beautiful Melrose Abbey ruins. We looked at Galashiels and the Yarrow Valley, home to the Ettrick shepherd James Hogg and renowned explorer Mungo Park. Just outside Selkirk lie the beautiful Ettrick and Yarrow valleys, fed by tributaries of the River Tweed. One of those tributaries, the Yarrow Water, has its source at St. Mary's Loch, the largest natural loch in the Scottish borders. Next to St. Mary's is the smaller loch of the Lowes, and between the two stands Tibby Shields Inn, an 18th century coaching inn where poet and writer James Hogg would often meet with other writers. Today you'll find a statue of Hogg overlooking the landscape he often captured in his poems. Two long-distance walking routes, the Southern Upland Way and the Sir Walter Scott Way, both pass the shores of this loch. About a half-hour's drive from St. Mary's Loch is the royal borough of Selkirk. Like many border towns, Selkirk values its history. It was here where freedom fighter William Wallace was declared guardian of the Kingdom of Scotland. Scotland was at a low point. Alexander III had died in 1286, leaving only his granddaughter Margaret, the Maid of Norway, as heir to the throne. Margaret fell ill and died on the voyage to Scotland. As civil war threatened, King Edward of England saw his chance and took it. He demanded that the Scottish nobility recognise him as Lord Paramount of Scotland, and he had soon forced John Baliol to give up his claim to Scotland's throne. Into this dark time stormed William Wallace, who rallied supporters and began to conduct raids using the Ettrick Forest as his base. After joining forces with Andrew Murray, the Scots earned a decisive victory against English forces in 1297 at the Battle of Stirling Bridge. Shortly after, at a kirk in the forest at Selkirk, Murray and Wallace assumed the title Guardians of the Kingdom of Scotland on behalf of the displaced King John Baliol. Wallace would go on to help secure Scotland's independence, fighting for his country until he was captured in 1305. Selkirk is connected to another key moment in Scotland's history, the Battle of Flodden. More on that after music from Isla Sinclair. This is Border Widow's Lament.
My love built me a bonny bow, and clad it a' wi' a lily flower. A brawer bow ye ne'er did see than my true love he built for me. There came a man by middle day. He spied his sport and went away, and brought the king that very night, who brake my bower and slew my knight. He slew my knight to me, say dear. He slew my knight and poisoned. is good. My servants all for life did flee, and left me in extremity. I sowed his sheet, making my name. I watched the corpse myself alone. I watched his body night and day. No living creature came that way. I took his body on my back, and whiles I gied and whiles I sat, I digged a grave and laid him in, and happed him wi' the sod sae green. But think na ye my heart was sick when I laid the mool on his yard. Since that my lovely knight is slain, we ill o'co his yellow hair, I'll chain my heart forever mair.
The Battle of Flodden in 1513 was one of the bloodiest in Scotland's history. 10,000 men were killed in a matter of hours, and Scotland was left without a king and with only a handful of noblemen. The words of 19th century Scottish poet James Brown, better known as J.B. Selkirk, sum up that day of huge loss. Frae every cleuch and clan, the best o' the braid border, rose like a single man to meet the royal order. Our borough toon itsel sent its 70 doon the glen. Ask Fletcher how they fell, bravely fechtin' 8 to 10, O Flodden Field. According to local legend, of all the men Selkirk sent to fight at Flodden Field, only one returned, Fletcher, bearing a blood-stained, captured English flag and dying shortly afterward. Sir Walter Scott tells a tale of the Battle of Flodden in his epic poem Marmion. South of Selkirk, you'll find Hoyk, the largest of the border towns and famous around the world for its fine quality knitwear. Hoyk is part of the Kashmir Trail and the centre for the industry in the borders. At the Borders Textile Tower House, visitors can enjoy a hands-on exhibition exploring a century of borders textile industry history. East of Hoyk lies Jedburgh, only 10 miles from the English border, and home to another of the border's magnificent abbeys, Jedburgh Abbey. While visiting the town, you might try a local sweet called Jethert Snails. These are brown, mint-flavoured boiled sweets you can purchase at the Brown Sugar Coffee Shop. The recipe is believed to have been brought to the town by French prisoners of the Napoleonic War. For more of Scotland's sweets and treats, check out our series Exploring Scottish Cuisine, available at simplyscottish.com. Heading east to where the border's two main rivers meet, the Tweed and the Teviot, you'll find the town of Kelso. The five-arched bridge spanning the Tweed at Kelso was designed by John Rennie and was the model for London's Waterloo Bridge. The town of Kelso grew up around its abbey in the 12th century. Like other border towns, the people of Kelso commemorate border history with the tradition of the common writing. Sir Walter Scott, having attended grammar school in Kelso, said that the community, quote, is the most beautiful, if not the most romantic village in Scotland, unquote. One unique aspect of Kelso is its cobbled town square, fed by four cobbled streets, said to be the largest town square in Scotland. Just outside Kelso is Flower's Castle, Scotland's largest inhabited house and home to the Duke and Duchess of Roxburgh. You'll also find Smailholm Tower nearby, a well-preserved border tower house from the 15th century. Originally held by the Pringle family, and later by the Scott family, such a fortification offered some protection from the raids of the border reavers. The border region, plagued by centuries of cross-border warfare and strife, had a law and order all its own, and one aspect of this was the reavers, both Scottish and English, who would band together in parties to dodge area wardens and raid livestock and property across the region. On to the coast now, and a visit to Eyemouth and Berwick-upon-Tweed, after a song from Scottish Gaelic band Manran. From their 2011 debut album, this is La Ma, the Gaelic for good day.
Clouds of hot things, beauty and a charge of sheets. Fall along the man of Chintron in ya, the hula thing in art. I'm not being long, the palm of Sishkin. I'm right on the chin hoodish. On a bobby, you make a hiss and a rock. Walk a thin yoga. I saw his cute on the yellow. I'm a heavy beer. I'm a heavy
You're listening to Simply Scottish, and the concluding episode of a series exploring the history, people and landscape of the Scottish borders. The historic coastal town of Eyemouth is situated where the Eye Water empties into the North Sea. Fishing in Eyemouth dates back to the 13th century, and the harbour is still active today. Highlights of the town's annual calendar include the Seafood Festival in June, the Herring Queen Festival in July, and the Lifeboat Weekend in August. A visit to the town's museum reveals details of Eyemouth's greatest tragedy, the East Coast fishing disaster of 1881, when 189 fishermen lost their lives during a great storm. The coastline around the county of Berwickshire provides a beautiful range of scenery, from high cliffs and deep clear water to sandy coves and quaint fishing harbours. A few miles south of Eyemouth is the Scotland-England border, and just beyond that is Berwick-upon-Tweed, a town that has been at the very epicentre of centuries of war between the two nations. Changing hands more than a dozen times, it was last reclaimed for England in 1482 by Richard, the Duke of Gloucester. Under the Treaty of Perpetual Peace between Henry VII of England and James IV of Scotland in 1502, Berwick was given a special status as being of the Kingdom of England, but not in it. As a result, the town needed special mention in royal proclamations. In 1884, the town established its own football club, Berwick Rangers FC. Although they're an English team, they play in the Scottish Football League, as it was deemed easier for their supporters to travel to Scottish stadiums. And so it's always been with the town of Berwick, a beautiful coastal town with the unfortunate position of having been caught between two nations at odds with one another. The borough's motto is, "May Berwick upon Tweed flourish." Perhaps it should actually be something like, "Can't we all get along?" The Scottish Borders is a majestic and awe-inspiring part of Scotland. In many ways, it's a microcosm of the country as a whole, steeped in history, with natural beauty at every turn, and an independent, tenacious people who, despite great hardship, have held on to their traditions and carved out success and prosperity. A great peace now prevails in the Borders, one that can be felt by any conscious visitor, whether walking the hills, standing in the abbey ruins, casting a fishing line into the river, or joining in a local celebration. Our three-episode series is by no means exhaustive. It's designed merely to whet your appetite and give you a taste of this amazing region of Scotland. That's it for this edition of Simply Scottish. Listen to other episodes online at www.simplyscottish.com. Get a chance to win a free CD of Scottish music by interacting with us through social media. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/simplyscottish, and our Twitter handle is @simplyscottish. We'll close with music from Deacon Blue. This is a song called "Walking Back Home." I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again soon for more of All Things Scottish, right here on Simply Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content is copyright 2012, Simply Scottish Media. All music used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience on the web at www.simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
Frost on the embankment, kissed my feet on the road. The tunes and beers, walking us back home. Stopped any tremors, wished them good new year. We sang and drank, curled and we cheered. Touched the sky above us, felt the earth below. How good it was just walking back home. Sta-da-da. La-la-la. La-la. Yeah.
now.